The message you're about to listen to is from the altar of Impact House International Church. Stay blessed as you listen.
I'll be speaking on unveiling the essentials. The essentials for settlement and satisfaction. Unveiling the essentials for settlement and satisfaction in this covenant day of settlement and satisfaction. Isaiah 65 verse 21. Isaiah 65 verse 21. The Bible says, and they shall build houses and inhabit them. They shall plant vineyard and eat the fruit of them. Let me hear your loudest amen. We are going to verse 24. Let's go to 22 now. And they shall not build and another inhabit. They shall not plant and another eat. For as the days of a tree are the days of my people, and my elect shall long enjoy the work of their hands. They shall not labor in vain. Are you really in the service? I can't hear your loud amen. Don't let us get too over familiar with the word of God or with God's presence. They shall not labor in vain, nor bring forth for trouble, for they are the seed of the blessed of the Lord, and their offspring with them. And it shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer. And while they are yet speaking, I will hear. This will be your portion in Jesus' name. This singular scripture shows us that our God wants us to be settled. If you go to verse 21 of that place in Isaiah 65 verse 21, you will have, the Bible says, and they shall build houses and inhabit them. They shall plant vineyard and eat the fruit of them. That's settlement. They will enjoy the best of what God has planned for them. In verse 22, you will also go further to see what God says. And they shall not build and another inhabit. I will make sure that they are settled. They will eat the fruit of their labor. You will eat the fruit of your labor. Amen. And when it is time for you to begin to enjoy your labor, you will not be lost. Amen. You will not be lost. Amen. So God is a God of settlement and satisfaction. He says, and it will ensure that your days are like trees. There are some of you here, there are some trees that were in your family compound or in your house since the time of your great grandfather, and they are still there now. So it says, as the trees are, as they live very long, there are some trees, if you don't cut them, they are there. If you don't take cutlass there to cut them, they are permanently there. You will not die in an untimely manner. God wants you to be settled and satisfied. And there's a vital essential. There's, amongst other things, there's something in particular that is so important before you can taste settlement and satisfaction. Without this essential, it is impossible to be settled. Without this vital, you cannot be satisfied. What is this thing? Is called obedience to God. Obedience to God. We'll go through this morning, and then we trust God that somebody's settlement and satisfaction will come truly in Jesus' mighty name. What is obedience to God? Obedience to God simply means carrying out the instructions given to you by God directly or through his servant as his representative. Obedience to God simply means carrying out the instruction given to you by God or given to you through his servants who are his representative here on earth. If you look through the Bible, you will see that the Bible is a book of instructions. And these instructions always lead to distinctions. These instructions always leads to settlement and satisfaction. For example, in Isaiah chapter 1 verse 19, Isaiah chapter 1 verse 19, it says, if thou be willing and obedient, you will eat the good of the land. If you are an obedient person, you are set to enjoy the blessings of the land. There are blessings in every land, but it is only for the obedient. Also, in the book of Deuteronomy chapter 12 verse 32, Deuteronomy chapter 12 verse 32, the Bible says, "What things soever I command you," somebody say command you, "what things soever I command you, observe to do it, that thou shall not add thereto, nor diminish from it." That was what Abraham enjoyed in Genesis chapter 12 verse 1 to 4. Genesis chapter 12 verse 1 to 4. Abraham was a nobody. Abraham was, father was Terah, and Terah was, we can't call Terah a successful man as it were. But Abraham was born, and suddenly Abraham entered into the realm of obedience. Genesis 12, 1 to 4. And God spoke to him and said, "Oh boy, get out of your father's house. And now the Lord said unto Abraham, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from the father and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will multiply thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse them that curse thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed." Verse 4. And so Abraham departed. This was the singular reason why we are talking about Abraham today. His father was not a big man. His father was not a rich man. His father was not said to be a very large man. But Abraham turned out to be settled. In Genesis 13 verse 2. Genesis 13 verse 2. In fact, the Bible says that immediately Abraham obeyed, he became rich in cattle, in silver, and in gold. Abraham was settled as a direct result of an obedient lifestyle. Quickly this morning, important facts about obedience. Important facts about obedience. It would be good that we are all writing. When you come to church, you are obliged to come with your writing materials. This will help you to have a better understanding of what is being taught, and you can go through it at home. Importance of obedience. Number one, important fact of obedience is that obedience is a matter of choice, and it is the choice of the wise. God will never force you to be obedient, but it is your choice. God will never force you to obey him by force, but it is by choice. My prayer for somebody here this morning is that may you make that right choice. Number two fact about obedience is that obedience is always better than sacrifice. 1 Samuel 15 verse 22. 1 Samuel 15 verse 22. Obedience is always better than sacrifice. And Samuel said, "Are the Lord has great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord." Behold, someone say, behold. To obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. To obey God is better than to give God 10,000 rams. God will prefer that we obey him than to give him 1 billion naira's offering. Obeying God is more crucial than giving to God or even serving God. Because serving God without being obedient to God is service in futility. Obedience is better than sacrifice. Number three fact about obedience is that God always determines our love for him via our obedience. John 14, 15. John chapter 14, verse 15. "If you love me, keep my commandment." That is, if you love me, be obedient to me. You can't claim you love God except the sequel of obedience is available in your walk with God. See a man that says he loves God and is always going against God's commandment, he doesn't love God. Anybody you love, you don't want to hurt the person. It's natural. Anybody you love, you don't want to hurt the person. You want to obey the person's instruction. Number four, fact about obedience is that the state of your relationship with God is evidenced by your obedience to God. The state of your obedience or the state of your relationship with God is evidenced by your... If somebody says, "I have a relationship with God," but you are not obedient to him, you have no relationship. Your relationship... The sign that you have a relationship with God is that you reference him so much that you desire to obey him. taking you somewhere this morning, because somebody must be settled and satisfied this month. I say somebody must be settled and satisfied this month. We're talking about this major key that is an all-time requirement for settlement. Obedience to God. Number five fact about obedience to God is that disobedience births rebellion. And rebellion is like witchcraft. Everything that you see that is called rebellion is starts from disobedience. 1 Samuel 15 verse 23. And the Bible says that we should not suffer a witch to live. Rebellion starts from disobedience. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. And stubbornness as the iniquity and idolatry. Stubbornness, that is disobedience, is just like idolatry. Somebody will say, I don't go to Babalawo. Bible says, if you are disobedient, you are just like somebody who is committing fornication every day, or somebody who is going to idolatry, who is going to the sea to collect power. Disobedience, God equates disobedience to stubbornness and to rebellion. And this is why God always resists those who are disobedient. My prayer for you this morning is that a new grace for obedience comes upon you in the name of Jesus. Number six fact about obedience is that holiness is obedience and obedience is holiness. Romans 6 verse 16. Romans 6 verse 16. Somebody will say, I'm very holy. If you are holy and you are not obedient, you are not holy. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourself servant to obey, is servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. So if you obey God, you are holy. If you disobey God, you are definitely unholy. Obedience and holiness are friends. They are like the same thing, more or less. They are five and six. My prayer is that a new grace to live a holy life comes on each one here this morning in Jesus' name. And number seven fact about obedience is that obedience comes with tremendous benefits. Obedience to God is not something you are just doing for free. No. Your obedience to God is not just something you are doing and there is no attendant benefit. And disobedience has its own attendant consequences. Obedience comes with blessings. Disobedience comes with curses. Deuteronomy 28 from verse 15 to 68 lists a lot of curses that comes to disobedience. We're not going to that. I'll just read just verse 15 alone. Can we go to the KJV? Thank you, Jesus. But it shall... Can we go to 15? 15. But it shall come to pass, if thou will not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes, which I commanded this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. Someone say, God forbid. So disobedience has so much curses. And from that verse 16 to 68, all true. All sorts of things that comes. And everything listed here are the problems bugging our society. Poverty, sickness, untimely death, all sorts of things are available to the disobedient. But for you and I, the grace for obedience comes upon us afresh this morning in the name of Jesus. You are escaping every form of curse this morning in the name of Jesus. I say you are escaping every curse of the law in the name of Jesus. If that is your desire, be obedient unto God. Be obedient unto his instruction. The devil knows that once you and I are obedient, we have qualified for blessing. That's why the devil will do everything to make you to break the law. Because your settlement is tied to obedience. Your satisfaction is tied to obedience. Everything in your life is tied to your obedience. I'll take you through some of the benefits of obedience this morning. About seven of them. There are many more, but because of our time. Number one benefit of obedience. Because somebody is saying, Pastor, what do I stand to gain if I begin to obey God? Number one, escape from God's wrath. Ephesians 5 verse 6. Escape from God's wrath. Once you begin to obey God, you have already started the journey to escape the wrath of God. The Bible says in Ephesians 5 verse 6, let no man deceive you with vain words. For because of these things cometh the wrath of God. Somebody say wrath of God. Somebody say it will never be my portion. For because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. So there is a anger of God. You know, it's always good to see the good part of God, but to see the bad part of God, you don't want to see it. One day, Sodom and Gomorrah saw the bad part of God, and they never lived to tell the story. God is wonderful, very kind, very awesome, very dependable, but he's still a man of war, and he's still a man of fire. He's a man that one doesn't want to experience his wrath. His wrath can be very dangerous. And if you and I begin the journey of obedience, then you have already qualified to escape. Somebody say escape. Somebody say I will escape. Somebody say I will escape. I can't hear your voice. And the only way to escape is to stay obedient to him. Bible says there's some people, they call them the children of disobedience, and they always face the wrath of God. Number two benefit of obedience is the termination of frustration and embarrassment. Termination. Someone say termination. Termination of frustration and embarrassment. The termination of frustration and embarrassment. In Matthew 17 verse 24, Matthew 17 from verse 24 to 27, there was a termination of embarrassment there where Jesus was, some guys came to him and said, we want to collect tribute money from you. And when they were come to Capernaum, they were received of tribute money to come to Peter and said, doth not your master, now let me just summarize it. They came to him and said, come and pay tax. And because of the obedience of Peter, Jesus told Peter, he said, go to the fish, bring out the fish. The first fish you bring out, there will be money inside his mouth. And when we say, Peter said unto him, of strangers, then Jesus said unto him, then our children, go to the next verse. Now, notwithstanding, lest we should offend them, go to the sea and cast a hook and take up the fish. That first comment. And when thou hast opened his mouth, thou shalt find a piece of money. Then take and give unto them. That is, I want you to escape embarrassment. But there's an instruction. Go to the sea. Place a hook there. And once you place a hook there, the first fish that comes out, open his mouth, you will see money in the mouth. That looks it looks like something that is very absurd. Jesus never said, go to the ATM. Or go to the bank. Or go to the money changers. Or money, say, go to the fish. Open his mouth, money is there. And this saved them from embarrassment. May God save you from every embarrassment today. I said, may God save you from every embarrassment today. Also in Luke chapter 5, verse 2 to 8. Luke chapter 5, from verse 2 to 8. There's a story there also that this same Peter had toiled all night in search of fish. Peter was a professor in fishery. He was a man that understood how to fish. And he left the house telling his wife, I'm coming back home with plenty of fishes. I'll soon be home. And when I get home this time, you are going to see the fattest fish you have ever seen. And he toiled all night. Someone say all night. Somebody's toiling is coming to an end today. And Jesus borrowed sheep to preach. And after that, Jesus said, launch your net into the sea. Launch it one more time. Launch it one more time. And when he had left speaking, he said unto him, Simon, launch into the deep and let down your net for a draught. He has toiled all night. And Peter said, Jesus, we have toiled all night. We didn't get anything. But because you said it, that was the beginning of the settlement and satisfaction of Peter. Peter should have said, Jesus, it was never in history that you are a fisherman. We only know you as a carpenter. you know, begin to do some analysis, some things, begin to analyze things. You see, you are not an expert in this thing. I know it. I went to school for it. I went to school for 8 years to study this thing. He never said that. He only obeyed. And his obedience brought about it. Bible says, and all of a sudden, all the fish that refused to enter the net now said, forcefully we must enter this net. And they began to fight. That is how blessing will be fighting to enter your life. And you run like this, blessing will come. You run like this, favor will come. You run like this, progress will come. As a direct result of your obedience, obedience magnetizes blessing. If Peter had begun to consider it, well, Jesus, what are you talking about? This is not possible. I would say with men, this is impossible. But with God, nothing shall be impossible. And Bible said the fish, the net caught so large number of fish, he called his friends around to begin to help them. And the net began to break. And when they had done that, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes and their net broke. Today, your bank account will begin to experience overflow. Your life will begin to experience an overflow. But it's a vital requirement. You must be obedient. Number three benefit of obedience is escape from lack and want. Obedience on giving and tithing, for example, makes you to escape lack and want. Malachi chapter 3, verse 10, all through to verse 13. But verse 12, Malachi chapter 3, verse 10, say, bring ye all the tithe into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house. And prove me, now, can you see, God said, I am so sure of what I'm telling you. If you can do this, oh yeah, prove me. Prove me. Prove me. If I will not do to you what is called blessing that you cannot imagine, I will give you financial resources. You will command wealth. And prove me now with, said the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven. If they open the windows of some normal human being's house and they pour out money, you can imagine how much they will pour. They open the window of Dangote and they say they want to pour out money. So we want to open one window in Dangote's house. We want to pour out money. You can imagine how. Now God said, I will open the windows of heaven. Heaven. I will open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing that there should not be room enough to receive it. That is the level you are going. Verse 11. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sake, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruits before the time in the field, said the Lord of hosts. Verse 12. And all nations, someone say all nations, people will gather to thank God for you. People will gather to thank God for you. And all nations shall call you blessed. For ye shall be a delightsome land, said the Lord of hosts. People will gather to appreciate God for your life. People will gather to say, ah, God has really changed your life. Very soon you will become very influential. Very soon you will become very, very influential. I traveled in the course of the week. And somebody was telling me in Akure, I went to Akure to do something briefly and returned the same day. And somebody was telling me that he came to Ilorin and saw my car on the road, on Unity Road. And he was on an Okada as he came from Akure. And he was telling the Okada man, please, I want to greet that person that is in that car. And the person said, you know Pastor Kuforiji? I couldn't imagine it. As an Okada man, somebody just came into the city and was on Okada going somewhere and my car passed. I said, please pursue that car. I want to greet that person. And the person said, do you know him? Pastor, do you know? I said, I have to be very careful now. I have to be very, very careful now. I mean, it's so unimaginable. Very soon, God will make you very influential. God is going to change your story. You know, in my place, they say the masquerade knows somebody, but somebody doesn't know. You know, you might think people don't know you, but very, very soon, God is going to change your story. Number four benefit of obedience is guaranteed security and protection. When you are obedient to God, you have become somebody that will be secured. Psalm 91 from verse 1 to 13. Your obedience makes God deplore security. If you are moving with the president of Nigeria, for example, you are sure that there is security around you. You see some hefty guys with big chest. If you don't feel like being obedient, they will teach you to how to be obedient. Big chest, big neck, big head, big hands. One slap from them is like 20 something from a natural man. These are the kind of people that walk with you when you are moving. They walk with you naturally because God protects the obedient. God preserves the obedient. God safeguards the obedient. God helps the obedient. So the more obedient you are, the more he preserves you. As for you and your family, you will enjoy obedience all the days of your life. Amen. Can I just read like one or two verses from that place before we move on? Thank you, Jesus. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High, that is he that is obedient to God, he says, shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in him will I trust. Surely he shall deliver thee. Somebody say, he will deliver me. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shall thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler, and thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrows that flyeth by day. I mean, you can go on and on, not for the pestilence. He will guide you. He will shield you. He will preserve you. Why? Because you are obedient. Number six benefit of obedience is answered prayers. 2 Chronicles chapter 17, verse 14. The Bible says, and 2 Corinthians 7, verse 14. And if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear them. I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and I will heal their land. That is, I will make sure I give them answers to their prayers. I will ensure that even before they call, I will answer. Somebody's here today. Before you call, God will answer. Yes. You know that scripture in that I quoted earlier on Isaiah 65 from verse 21 to 24. That before you call, God will answer. And somebody's here, before you call, God will answer. Yes. Number seven benefit of obedience is long life. Long life. Obedience always equals the obedient live long. For example, there is a commandment on respect and honor for parents. It is a commandment that comes with a promise. If you can honor your parents, spiritual parents, biological parents, anybody that is like a father figure to you or mother figure to you spiritually and physically, if you honor them, you can't die young. Ephesians chapter 6 from verse 1 all to verse 3. Ephesians from verse 1. Children, obey your parents. Can you see that? Children, obey your parents. And these parents are in the Lord. Obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment, with a promise, that it might be well with thee. It will be well with you. Amen. This is one of the reasons why people lose their lives. Obey your parents in the Lord. He said that it will be well with thee. And then because of your obedience, he said you will live long on the earth. Everybody under the sound of my voice, you will live long on the earth. I say you live long on the earth. And there's a vital requirement. There is a crucial requirement. And it is that you obey God. You obey God. And you obey the parents, spiritual and biological, that God has placed over you. Number seven benefit of obedience is lifting. Someone say lifting. The obedient doesn't stay on the ground. You can't see an obedient person scratching the ground. Psalm 75 verse 6 to 7. Psalm 75, 6 to 7. For promotion cometh not neither from the east, nor from the west, nor from the south. But God is a judge. He putteth down one and setteth up another. God is the one that set up people. And God is here this morning. He will set you up for a settlement. He will set you up for satisfaction. Can I hear your loudest amen? God will set you up for satisfaction. He said, but there's a requirement. Obey them. Let there be obedience. Oh, promotion is not difficult. How many of you know that if you are working in a company and they give you instruction, resume by 7:30 and you are there. This is what you are supposed to do. This is your target and you meet it. Oh, promotion won't be a struggle. It's only foolish people that ask for review of salary. You don't need to ask for. It is your obedience to the instruction that guarantees continuous progress for you. It's your obedience. Once you are obedient, you have signed up for continuous promotion. Your obedience. When they say, this is the color to wear today, then you listen. This is what to do today, then you listen. You don't feel like, no. There are some things you can feel like doing, but when it comes to the issue of obedience, there's nothing like I feel like. Instruction is what leads to promotion. Once you can listen to instruction and you can obey that instruction, there's no need for you. As a husband, for example, there's an instruction on how you are to treat your wife. Love your wife. Don't be bitter against them. I think that should be Colossians chapter 3 verse 18 or so. Colossians chapter 3 verse 18. No, love them. Don't be bitter against them. Then you, the wife, honor your husband. Reference your husband. With this, things will work out naturally. My prayer for somebody here this morning is that things will work out naturally for you and your family. Amen. Can I hear your loudest amen? Amen. I'd like to hear your loudest amen. Amen. Naturally, things will work out for you and your family. Amen. I say naturally, things will work out for you and your family. Amen. Can I hear your loudest amen? Amen. A new spirit of obedience comes for you this morning in the name of Jesus. Can I hear your loudest amen? A new spirit of obedience comes for you this morning in the name of Jesus. Colossians chapter 3 verse 18, like I quoted earlier on, I don't know why the media has not projected it. Wives, submit unto thy own husbands, and as it is fit in the Lord. Verse 19. Husbands, love your wives and don't be bitter against them. And then naturally the family will just be at peace. As a wife, you have submitted to your husband. As a husband, you love your wife and you are not bitter. You are not bitter means you are not angry against her anyhow. You are not holding grudges against some men can hold bitterness in their heart worse than women. They can hold bitterness. They have said, I'm sorry. They want her to say, I'm sorry, like 1,000 times before you let go. No. These things are the things that brings blessings in homes, that bring blessings in houses, that bring blessings in destiny. The more you are obedient to God's precepts, the more God will answer your prayers. He will answer your prayers. I say, God will answer your prayers in the name of Jesus. I say, we answer your prayers in the name of Jesus. Listen to me. If you are praying a prayer point over and over and again and God is not answering you, watch your level of obedience. Once I am praying a prayer 1 week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 1 month, I will sit down. Like Proverbs 18 verse 1. A man having sat down, thinketh and intermediate with all wisdom. I will now sit down. What can be wrong? What can be wrong? Why am I praying this prayer? Most of the time when you are praying the same prayer, there is an area of your life where disobedience is operational. And it is standing as a wall of Jericho to your next level. But today, God is going to open your eyes of understanding. I say, God will open your eyes of understanding. God will open your heart of understanding. You will have a clearer and better understanding of your life. I'd like to hear your loudest amen. As I begin to round up this morning, what are the keys to obedience? Keys to obedience, we'll take that real quick, and then we'll move on. Keys to obedience, number one, is to fear God. If you cannot obey God except you fear Him, let the fear of God rule your heart. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13. Ecclesiastes 12, verse 13. Now let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandment. You can't be obedient except the fear of God rests in your heart. Don't live your life as if God doesn't exist. Don't walk as if you are just the one that created yourself. Let the fear of God rule your heart. Let the fear of God rule your thinking. Let the fear of God rule your conduct, day-to-day conduct. The fear of God. The fear of God. Also, the beginning of wisdom. Number two, key to obedience is be determined to please God at all costs. Be determined that at all costs I will please God. Whatever it will cost me. I told you the story of Daniel last week when I was preaching on Thanksgiving. Daniel, they told Daniel in Daniel chapter 6, he said, if you pray, we will kill you. If you worship, you are destroyed. He said, forget it. And the Bible says, he opened the window and began to pray. Daniel chapter 6, verse 10. He opened the window and began to praise God. I began to pray. He did not waste time. He knew that they had already mentioned that he would die. He did not care. That is, he was a man determined to please God. You see, determined to please God. As a young lady, be determined to please everybody, be messing up and doing all sorts of rubbish because of chicken change. If a man wants to mess you up because of $1 billion, it is too small because of your destiny. It's too small. It's chicken change. Don't you know who you are? You are a special person. 1 Peter 2 verse 9. A chosen generation. A royal priesthood. A peculiar person. Called to show forth the praise of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. You are not just a nonentity. You might look small today, but something great is coming out of your life. I say something great is coming out of your life. Something great is coming out of your life. My wife showed me some pictures day before yesterday night of myself. When we went for our introduction and before the wedding, my neck was quite long she was just laughing. She said, there's a drastic change. There's a change. There must be a change. There's a great change since I'm born again. A great change. There must be a change. So don't worry yourself. God is still working on you. Things are not over. So be determined to walk in the fear of God. Also be determined to please your maker. Whatever. I've always told you many, many times. You can't discourage me. You don't have the capacity. There is no human being on this earth that has the capacity to discourage me from serving God. Abuse me. It doesn't matter. Speak against me. It doesn't change anything. Nothing can stop me. Permanently determined. As in permanently. Permanently, the heart is fixed on service. The heart is fixed on service. No shaking. Someone say no shaking. No shaking. No shaking. Number three, key to obedience is seek knowledge. Seek knowledge. When you know that there are benefits available, there is a benefit available to obedience. There is a consequence available to disobedience. When you are knowledgeable about this, you have no problem. Knowledge makes you know that what you are doing is not a wasted effort. I think that somewhere in 1 Corinthians 15 verse 58 or so, your service is not a wasted effort. What you are doing in terms of service, you are not just doing a wasted, it's not in vain. He says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast. Someone say steadfast. Unmovable. Always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know, that's knowledge. For as much as you know, You know that 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 what you are doing is not a wasted effort. I know it. Abounding the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor, what you are doing in God's house, what you are doing of obeying God, what you are doing of turning your back against sin, you turn your back and say, no, I'm not going this way. You know that your labor is not a vain labor. Your self-control, your self-denial, your praying every day, your fasting regularly, your service, your coming to church early enough. You know that you know that it's because people don't know. That's why somebody will come to church and mistakenly step your leg and say, I will never come to that church again. You don't know. When you know, nothing can move. You are unmovable. Nothing can move you. You are like a rock. Nothing can push you out of your inheritance. Number four, key to obedience is refuse to be a hearer of the word only, but a doer. James chapter 1, verse 22. Refuse to just be hearing the word alone. James 1, verse 22. Don't just be a hearer alone, but a doer. Say, but ye doers of the word, but be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourself. Many are deceiving themselves in this world now. Message upon message upon message upon message upon message upon message, but there is no fruit. There's no fruit. When you get to a tree and the tree has fruits, you don't need BSC to see it. Immediately you get to a fruit. These are mangoes, ripe mangoes. You don't need to go to school before you can see that this tree has fruits. Don't just hear the word only. Be determined to obey the word. Number five, key to obedience is associate correctly. Associate with those who are obedient. Proverbs 13 verse 20. He that walketh with the wise shall be wise. A companion of fools shall be destroyed. Associate correctly. 1 Corinthians 15 verse 33. Be not deceived. Evil communication corrupt good manners. As if all your friends are people who hate God, you will hate God eventually. 1 Corinthians 15, 33. If all your friends hate God, you will hate God. You will hate God. If all your friends are smokers, you will soon begin to smoke. If all your friends, carry man friend, married women, all your friends who are married men, they have boyfriend in their offices, very soon the thing will begin to taste nice to you. If all your friends visit joints, all the booker joints in town, they know them. They even have their number. Hello, it's a long time we saw you here. We have reduced our pepper soup plate from 15,000 to 12,500. We have not seen you. Well, you can't give your wife at home 12,500 as soup money. Associate. You see, friendship is not by force, it's by choice. Don't force anybody to be your friend. Once you see that this person's friendship with you is over, and what is the sign that it is over? The person does not want to be obedient. Simple. Make friends easily and release friends very easily. As some people, they hold on to you are going out with somebody or you are dating somebody, and the person is slapping you. The person says this is using hand to scratch your breast, using hand to give you marks. He has already started giving you marks even before they gave him right over you. He will use cutlass on you. He will use because by the time he has already taken a cow to your house and taken pepper to your house, he has ultimate right over you. If he says sit down there, you must sit down there. He says, yeah, bring your mom, I want to give you 14 strokes. He will give you. May the anointing of this morning open your eyes. Friends you are meant to dissociate from them. So that your settlement, do you know, until Lot separated from Abraham, Abraham was nothing. Go and read your Bible very well. Abraham was a vagabond until, the Bible says, immediately Lot separated from Abraham, God spoke to Abraham straight. Next verse. I think that's Genesis chapter 12. towards the end or so, or chapter 13. Immediately Abraham, Lot separated from Abraham. Immediately there was a change. For somebody here today, there will be a change of story for you. I said there will be a change of story for you. Can I hear your loudest amen? Can I hear your loudest amen? Genesis 13, verse 14. And the Lord said unto Abraham, after that Lot was separated from him, Genesis 13, 14. Immediately, when Lot was there, Abraham could not become anybody. Those that should be separated from you for your life to be great, they must separate today. Amen. Anybody that must live your life, for your life to be settled, they must live your life today. Amen. Number six, where I'm going to stop this morning. Key to obedience. Pray always for grace to obey God. Romans 5 verse 20. In your daily prayer schedule, pray for grace. I want more of you. I want more of you, Jesus. The more I know you, the more I want to know you, Jesus. More. Moreover, the law entered, that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. In your daily, instead of praying for money every day, Father, money, oh God, contract, oh God, car, I want car, oh God, where's my car, where's my wife, where's my visa? Pray for grace to obey God. Matthew 6 verse 33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and its righteousness, and every other thing shall be added to you. My prayer for you this morning is that this word of this morning will bring about a change of story in your life permanently. Can I hear your loudest amen? Is anybody blessed this morning? Shout a big hallelujah.
Wow. I know you must have been blessed by this message. Please feel free to worship with us at Impact House International Church, Praise Tabernacle, along Pipeline Road, Ilorin. For more inquiries, you can call 081-086-78878 or visit our website www.impacthouseinternationalchurch.org. I appreciate you.